ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಚನ್ನ ಪಲ್ಲವ ಗಿರಿಧಾರ ಜಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಘ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಚನ್ನ ಬಲವ ಗಿರಿಧಾರ ಜಾರಿ ಯಶೋರ ನನ್ನ ಭಜ ಚನ್ನ ಭಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಜಮುನ ಚಿರ ಬಾರಿ ಜಮುನ ಚಿರ
Papa Kita. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. Hare Krishna. I'd asked them to put a verse on the board, but I guess it didn't happen. But it's we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. And I chose one verse. It's in the 11th chapter, verse 55. And I guess I'll just read it. I'll read it slowly so you can really listen. Translation, my dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. And I'll read a little bit of the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personalities of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, must take this formula as stated by the Supreme himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is a book directed to the conditioned souls who are engaged in the material world with a purpose of lording it over nature and who do not know of the real spiritual world. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now here in this verse, which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity, devotional service. So some of the things, again, that are the essence of how to obtain Krishna. I'll repeat. A couple of them were one who engages in my pure devotional service, one who does not want the fruits of their activities, one who doesn't speculate, who works for Krishna and makes him the goal of his life, and who's friendly to everyone. Then you're sure, oh, you've got it up there. Then you're sure you're going to go back to Krishna. So this is our challenge in this lifetime. How to surrender to Krishna. I would like to go back about 5 decades, maybe 6. When I was in elementary school, I think they still do it. Actually, I called up my daughter to see if they still do it. And she had asked her husband. But he's a teacher in school. And in school, if you all remember way back when, and I guess they still do it now, but it's not forced, but we used to have to stand up, put her hand on her heart, and pledge allegiance to the flag, right? And what's the rest of it? Pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America. One nation under God. Okay, we can stop there. We know the rest. Okay, so after we said the pledge of allegiance with a hand on our heart, then a long time ago, we used to have a prayer time when I was in elementary school. Sometimes it was silent, sometimes I can't remember. I think they would read something. Anyway, it was a time for prayer. And then when I was in sixth grade, one morning over the PA system in elementary school, 1962, they said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and then they said, there's no more prayer to be done in school. And that there was an amendment saying that the government had said that they could not promote religion. They could not promote God in schools. So to me, it didn't really matter. I didn't know who God was. I didn't know anything about God, and I wasn't interested. So, but I heard there was murmurs in my house and the TV, a lot on TV and newspaper, and my parents were talking about a lot of things. I guess it was quite a shock, because actually the Pledge of Allegiance, a long time ago, until 1954, it didn't have one nation under God. Under God was actually put in 1954. And so now, that's fine, that's great. You know, the country needs allegiance, it wants loyalty, dedication, faith. But what about God? Why take him out of the picture? He wants loyalty, and he wants faith, and he wants dedication, right? He wants surrender. He wants us to actually surrender to him. Also, when I was about that age, I was a Girl Scout, Brownie and Girl Scout and everything. And does anyone know the oath? The Boy Scout oath? Girl Scout oath? Come on, nobody goes, no one's a Brownie or a Girl Scout or Boy Scout anymore? What is it? Yeah, it says actually that I do my duty to God and my country. So that's also confirmation that they do go together. They both need to be there. And they both want loyalty, and they want dedication, and they want love. We see bumper stickers all the time, you know, love your country and things like that. So whatever happened to the loyalty to God? What about surrender to God? And a symptom of surrender is that it's a little tough sometimes. Because surrender means what? When we think of surrender, someone sticks a gun in your back and you go like this, right? I surrender. That's what happens. And then you're vulnerable. Whatever they want to do to you, you can't do a thing about it. You've surrendered. Now you're theirs. So in the same way, full surrender to God means that now I'm there. You can do whatever you would like with me. And so most of the time we think of this full surrender when we see a nun go by with their habit on, or we see monks, or we hear about St. Francis of Assisi giving up his the establishment and going off, finding peace and a whole different lifestyle, seeking spiritual things. Or we think of monks or yogis fully surrendered. And we have great respect for them because it's difficult. It's difficult to give up something that you think you're enjoying, something you think is yours. And so we have respect in that regard because it is difficult. And why do they go through this whole ordeal? Why do they have to live, you know, in such a renunciation mood? It's because they understand by doing that, by giving up the frills of material life, of absorption and sense gratification and those type things, that they will get something better, that they will actually get some peace of mind and get rid of some of the material stress. I was just talking with some of the guests that we had here about the three types of miseries that we all might have, one, two, or three, all of the above. Can any of those persons raise their hand and tell me one? Okay, well, you weren't part of it. All right, go ahead. Yes, the demigods, too much rain, too little rain. Hurricanes, things like that. Those are miseries that we all face. And what's another one? Adibautika, what is that? Other bodies, other people's. Red ants, we were sitting here trying to honor Prasadam, and every few minutes someone would go like this. You know? And we all can show the evidence on all of our toes because we weeded the blueberry bushes and we all found ants. Can't get away from them in Florida, right? Okay, and the other one is, we're the pain. We're the pain for our own self. This body is a pain. And our mind is even more so, right? It gets in the way of many things. So to give that up sounds pretty good to me, you know, just erase it from the picture. So to do that, you know, intelligent people will see that there's different kinds of activities and different results you get. We call it prayas and shreyas. Prayas means that you're going to want some immediate gain by what you do. Like for sense gratification, you know, you get what you pay for. You know, you want some enjoyment, you go after it, you try to enjoy. And you lose all your money usually, drains your pocket trying to enjoy these days. It's here, it's gone, it's flickering, and you're never really satisfied. You're always hankering for something else, and then you lament when you don't get it. Drive by the donkey down here, the mule that we have. Every single car that goes by, do you have anything for me? Do you have anything for me? They're looking for the bag, right? Who's got the bag or something? It's every time you go by. And then as soon as you go by and doesn't have any, he puts his head down, and he actually cries. He cries. He goes, and if you give him like a bag of apples, he's right there, and then you stop with a bag of apples, he cries. You know? Hanker and lament. This is the material life. But Shreyas is for those who are intelligent that will see that I can do something now and I will get an eternal result. I'll actually enjoy later down the line. And so surrender is like that. That we are accepting and rejecting things that are not favorable for our spiritual advancement. Advancement that will get us out of this material predicament, out of these threefold miseries, if not this lifetime, in a very short while. And we find that devotional service is so nice, just serving Krishna now, that, hey, we do get immediate enjoyment. Everyone loves kirtan. We had a wonderful kirtan last night. Everyone was relishing there in so much nice prasadam. It's an enjoyable process now and later. So one should consider full surrender. Also in the Bhagavad Gita, twice in the Bhagavad Gita, to emphasize, Lord Krishna says that one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So twice in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives that promise. And that is a grand promise. That's a powerful promise. That if you just surrender to me, just like this other verse, if you do this, if you do that, you're going to come to me. And so to make a powerful vow of surrender for this lifetime, decide, yes, I'm going to take to the process, that's powerful. And we get a powerful result. And it's a promise by Krishna. Our spiritual master said that we should, when we distribute books, we should not just give them away without asking for a little something, because if you give something free all the time, they think, oh, it must be cheap, right? So we're not saying that this process of surrender is easy, you know, it's like a whiz, no problem, just surrender, you know. No, it's actually a challenge. It isn't that easy, but it's a challenge on our ego. We have so many layers of false ego, of misidentification that are keeping us from this full surrender. And so this process gradually of bhakti, of devotional service, begins to cleanse and purify that consciousness. So the natural devotion that is inside will come out again. So it's a very pleasurable process, although it's difficult, because we do have all those different layers, sticky layers, thick layers. So we have to realize that surrender is also synonymous to faith. We have to have faith in the process. And that, of course, comes, as we hear from Scripture, it comes from hearing and chanting, hearing about the goal, what we're surrendering, this whole ordeal. What are we going to get out of it? What is going to make me want to go there? What our goal is here? We're going to go to Krishna. And that's a promise that we can depend on, for sure, because the Supreme Lord is saying that. So how does a life of surrender look? Now, if I look in the mirror, I say, oh, I've got tilak, look like a Vaishnava, I got my neck beads. You might look in the mirror and say, oh, I don't have any more hair, I just got a little thing in the back, right? So I'm surrendered. But that isn't what really qualifies you as being a surrendered soul. Surrender means a change of heart. It means a change of life. And it means that your heart begins to become very compassionate, very soft by the purification process. And you feel that. You feel some of the rough hardness of being out in the material world round over, and you become much more compassionate, and you realize that, wow, look at all those people out there. I would like to also tell them about this wonderful process. And your vision changes. You'll have better than 20/20 vision. You'll be able to see the difference between matter and spirit so clearly. And you'll actually have the touch of taking matter and turning it to spirit. Just like we did in the kitchen yesterday, we had a cooking class. We took matter, cooked it all up, and then offered it to Krishna, and it became spiritual. And it actually turned out very good. Congratulations, cooks. They made some nice things. So that is also something that you will see in a surrendered life happen to you. And also your appreciation level will increase amazingly. Materialist vision is only appreciating what's in their little teeny world of gratification for themselves. But when you become Krishna conscious and become more conscious that you are just one little soul and you're part of Krishna, and he is so great, then you'll appreciate so much more. You appreciate the souls in everybody else and in the trees and everything. You'll actually have so much gratitude every single day. And when things happen good, when things happen bad, you'll have that appreciation because you'll see that it's Krishna. He put his hand in there and he changed things. He did things. He made it good. He made it bad. So you have appreciation. Yes, the Lord is caring for me. He's taking things in his hand. Because it wasn't my plan. But you'll have appreciation in your heart that was Krishna helping me. So these are some qualities that are really good qualities that we can that come out of surrendering to Krishna, and that we can anticipate in the future by just taking to the simple process of chanting and dancing and honoring prasadam. So what are some of the causes why we're not all fully surrendered souls? Anybody have some excuses out there why you're not a fully surrendered soul? Maybe all are fully surrendered souls.
We're envious of God.
Huh?
We're envious of God.
Very envious. Very envious, yes. We think we're the center of the universe. And it's hard to get over there. There's that false ego again, dominating our whole position and not letting Krishna take his position as the supreme. Lots of times we have excuses that I don't have time. I don't have time to go through this whole process of surrender, chant rounds and do all these things and go to the program and read, and I just don't have time. I understand there's a body and a soul, but I got to keep that body and soul together. So right now I have my work, I have job, I have all these things. Sounds pretty good. I don't know if Krishna will buy it. We can make some time for Krishna consciousness. We can chant, we can slow down a little bit, we can get up earlier, we can go to bed earlier, we can make time. We can rub shoulders with someone who is Krishna conscious. And we're always driving around, we're always walking around. Now we have so much technology we can just put on our ears and hear and be in contact with Krishna. So really, no excuse. Plus that hourglass, you know, it's getting down there for some of us, only a few grains of sand left, right? And before you know it, it's going to be turned upside down in another lifetime. Another lifetime. So time is ticking. We don't have time to wait around to surrender. We don't know how many sands are left to come down that little vial. So we really should take advantage of the time, because we have a lot of bad habits. I don't know about you, but I still have a lot of ingrained habits, a lot of false ego. I've got a lot to work on still. And Prabhupada said, for the Westerners, it's this purifying program is like washing coal. It takes a long time to wash coal, right? Have you ever tried it? I've seen them in India washing coal. I guess they were going to reuse it. I don't know. But it's difficult. So we need that extra time. We need every minute we have in this lifetime to take to the process of purification. So we really shouldn't waste much time and think we can do it later. Later might not come. So the time is perfect. We should really take the time. Another cause for not surrender might be that fear of the unknown. I don't know what the spiritual world is like. I have no idea. I don't know what the spiritual realm is like. I only know what I've seen, what I've heard, what I've experienced. So many people are fearful of religion and for that reason. You know, no one's come back from the dead to tell us about it, what happened, or if they came, or what happened, you know, if they saw God or anything like that. You know, so how am I supposed to know? I'm a little fearful of that unknown figure. But Prabhupada says, and the Gita says, the doubts are demons. That the only way you can get rid of these doubts is by knowledge. So if you look on that back wall, so many books. And I guarantee you, every single question you could ever ask, the answer is in those books. And there will be no doubt about your position and your position as a servant to the Supreme Lord. Your intelligence will be totally satisfied, and you'll have no more fear, because everything is there. What's the spiritual world like? It's going to tell you what the trees are like, the cows are like, everything. I was telling the people the other day that the cows in the spiritual world are checkered, right? And the snow is not wet or cold, it's different colors, and so many things. Everything you want to know about the spiritual world is there. So get excited and read these books. And all your fears will go away. You'll be so happy that you have this knowledge. No problem. Just take to the process, and then you will realize the knowledge. You'll get to see Krishna face to face. And that comes to the next thing, why we don't surrender to Krishna. Because relationships are difficult. I got a problem with my wife. I got a problem with my kids. They're teenagers now. What do I do? You know. So many difficulties in relationships. And so we're like a little apprehensive about getting into an eternal relationship with somebody, someone we haven't met, someone we don't know, someone that we're supposed to serve the rest of our life. So we might think, I don't know. God, why don't you be over there and do your controlling thing and everything, and I'll be over here, I'll worship you and things like that. But a relationship with God, that sounds like a lot of work. And but we understand that it's relishable. That it's going to be the perfect relationship that we're looking for in the material world. It's going to answer all of our hankerings for the highest love. And we have something here that almost no one else has. And we have something that will cure us of the tendency of impersonalism, which this apprehension is of relationships. You know, I've had so many bad ones, I don't think I want any more. We have the deity worship. You can come here and you can start having a relationship with Krishna right here in this room. Just by coming here, letting him look at you, letting you see him in the different dresses and different moods, and you can do service in the back room, you can do service out here, you can cook for him, you can do whatever you would like for him. And so this is a perfect way for us to break the ice and begin to have a relationship with God and realize how relishable, how wonderful it is, and how it develops and grows. So much so that you don't even want to go away from this temple, because the deities are so beautiful and you have a relationship with them. So that's not a good excuse either, you're being afraid of relationship. And the other one that I thought of is, surrender. All right, I have to give up this, I have to give up that. I'm going to lose out on too much. I'm really afraid I'm going to lose out, and there's so much more in my lifetime I could do. I can go traveling, I can go do this, and I can have this, and this dream, and that dream, and I might lose out on all those things if I surrender to Krishna. I might lose out on my good relationships with everything if I just have a relationship with Krishna and nobody else. And so that is a poor excuse also. Because we don't lose out anything. We gain everything. We gain Krishna. We go to Krishna. And we can be with him right now. We can be with all of our millions of devotee friends also. So we really don't lose out on anything. And those people that think that they're going to get something from their gratification in the material world, their pleasure, they're going to get a bill later. It's called karma. If they don't pay for it now, they're going to pay for it in many, many more lifetimes. They're stuck with that bill. And so it's not worth it. It's really not. We're karma free. We're out of here by just surrendering this one lifetime. Why not? So we're really not missing out. And I would like to create a little bit better picture of how surrender looks. Maybe this will be another encouragement for all of us. This is written, it's a beautiful poem written by someone who was fully surrendered, raised 10 kids, had a magistrate job, was busy 24 hours a day, but found time for his spiritual life, found time to surrender fully to Krishna, and to spread it to others. And so he wrote many, many beautiful poems. And this is underneath one category that he wrote called Sharanagati, and which means full surrender to God. And this is a beautiful song. It's not sung very much. I would like to sing it for you, but I'm not going to take the time. It's called Atmani Vedana. And the translation is beautiful. If you can just meditate on this, it might be an impetus. I have become supremely joyful by surrendering myself at your holy feet. Unhappiness has gone away, and there are no more anxieties. I see joy in all directions. Your two lotus feet are reservoirs of immortal nectar where one may live free from sorrow and fear. I have found peace there now and have given up the fear of worldly existence. I shall render service in your household and not endeavor to enjoy the fruits of that service, but rather I shall strive for whatever pleases you, fully devoted to your lotus feet. Troubles encountered in your service shall be the cause of great happiness, for in your devotional service, joy and sorrow are equally great riches. Both destroy the misery of ignorance. I have completely forgotten all past history by feeling great joy in my mind. I am most certainly yours, and you are indeed mine. What need is there of any other treasure? Bhaktivinoda, diving into the ocean of bliss, devotes all his efforts for your service and dwells in your house according to your wishes. So that's what we can have. We can have a wonderful life of diving in pleasure, free from anxiety and so many things, if we decide to take to this path of full surrender. And it's not always easy, like I said. There are challenges, but they're all custom to you, things that you need to do to surrender this lifetime fully. Each one is designed particular. And for me to surrender in a particular way isn't going to be the same for you at all. You might be very surrendered, you know, you don't eat any meat, fish, or eggs, and that's like a difficult for you, but it might be no problem for me. But for me, it might be hard for something else, not for you. So each one is designed in particular. And Krishna will like turn up the heat a little bit and make it a little more difficult to surrender, a little bit more difficult. But that is his choice. And it's our choice to look and find those opportunities to surrender. And if we do that, we voluntarily, no one has to stick a gun in our back. That's not what God wants. He wants us to volunteer and surrender with love and devotion. And so we have to find those opportunities and take to them. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, came here to give us this beautiful process of surrender, of chanting and dancing and everything. And he came with some weapons. Does anyone know the weapons that he came with? It wasn't a pistol. It wasn't a heavy, heavy, you know, surrendered mood like Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. His weapons were his beauty. Everyone can look now at Lord Chaitanya. Second figure on the first altar. And he came with what else? The holy name. And what did he do? And I would like you all to do it, just what he's doing. Everyone, stick him up. Right? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram, Ram. So this is the process of surrender, very, very easy, and it's not forceful. We encourage everyone to do that, and we encourage everyone when they get up in the morning daily, put your hand on your heart in your bead bag and pledge your allegiance to Krishna, chant the holy names, and recognize the gift that we have, the treasure, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. We have the treasure of the name. And this chanting will purge our heart of all that dirt that is keeping us from realizing our real relationship with Krishna. And Krishna is so kind that even though someone will come by our chanting party and go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, his hands are raised, and Lord Chaitanya goes, aha, I even accept that. That you've raised your hands and said Hare Krishna, even in a mocking mood, I accept that as your beginning of surrender. He's so kind. So what less if we sincerely chant and glorify God from the bottom of our hearts. So Krishna gives us the benefit of the doubt. He gives the greatest benefit even to the doubters. Even if they doubt and they chant Hare Krishna, raise their hands, they get benefit. But we shouldn't doubt anything. We really shouldn't. We shouldn't doubt that our destination is that we will come to Krishna in this next lifetime, that we will get out of this misery and actually go to him and experience satisfaction. And I think we've all experienced some satisfaction by chanting and coming here to the temple and starting to develop a relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep coming back. Because it is a true thing. This reciprocation is not imagination. It's a real thing. It really exists. And we just have to participate in it. And so we encourage people to pay their allegiance to God in our country. But really, it's not even our country. It's Krishna's country. And it's not just one nation. The whole world is indivisible because it's all Krishna's. It shouldn't be divided up into this nation and that nation. Prabhupada said that that's the beginning of spiritual life, that we're not a Hindu, we're not an American, we're not Indian, we're not African. It's all Krishna's, and all should be given to Krishna and used in Krishna's service. So we get off this bodily platform by taking to this very simple process of bhakti yoga, chanting and dancing and praying to Krishna, as he says in that verse two times in the Bhagavad Gita, to give everything to me, to pray to me, and think of me, become my devotee, please, this lifetime, please come my devoted, loyal, dedicated devotee, and then you will come to me. So these are a few thoughts I thought about surrender, and we should try to think about them every day, how we can surrender more and more. And we'll find that we'll become much more much happier. And if we could actually ask the school systems to, again, somehow or other, have the pledge to allegiance not only to the country, but to God, and over the PA systems, during the prayer, everyone chant Hare Krishna. Wouldn't that be great? Every morning on all the public systems, school systems, everyone just chant the holy name. They can chant whatever name of God they want, but if everyone just for a few minutes would put their hand on their heart and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 just think how it would change this nation and then maybe the world get off the bodily platform just by this simple thing. So may we, in our prayers, hope that someday our potency by our chanting here in this little temple and by our individual little surrender, that more and more everyone will surrender and they'll realize that just by this chanting process, we can reach perfection and there can be peace in your hearts and in the whole world, ultimately. And that was Prabhupada's challenge. So he leaves it with us. Anyone have any questions or comments? Yes. The question is how one becomes steady. It is described in the whole yoga system that Krishna explains in the earlier chapters here of how important regularity is, that yogis should be very regular in their eating and in their sleeping and in their mating and everything should be very regular and restricted, slowly restrictions. So Prabhupada was very, very encouraging and actually somewhat demanding that those who are initiated into this surrender process, that they become very regulated in their chanting, regulated in their lifestyle, regulated in their sleeping. And I find that that it helps immensely if you're regulated. Then you become very steady. And then from there, you can increase, you can advance. So if you just begin with the simple things that Prabhupada gave us to do and are very regular, not missing a day, not missing your time, not missing your schedule, you know, as much as you can. Of course, it's a material world. But whatever it is, even if you have a kind of a crazy schedule, you make some crazy place in your day, you know, that, but it's there every day. Might not be during the morning hours, but it's there. And that's when I do my sadhana, my chanting. Or I come here, I can't come in the morning, I come here and I see the deities every day at night, because that's when I can come. So regulation, that's helps become steady. And maybe someone else would like to give some other advice that they found that helps them become more steady amongst this whirlwind. Yes. Can you wait and do it there? Okay. All right, I'll repeat the seven words. Sounds like a good mantra. Get up early and chant your rounds. I second it. Anybody want to third it? Yeah, it really helps. That means you have to go to bed a little earlier. But it definitely helps. Papa said, get a head start on the material energy. And then you'll have the strength so that you can battle the waves. And there are waves. We don't deny that it's not a difficult process, but Prabhupada's made it easy and doable. It is doable. We just have to find the place for it in our lives before our lifetime runs out. Anything else from anybody? Okay, now we can surrender our tongues to tasting nice prasadam. Hare Krishna.